Let's open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to pick up in verse 12 tonight. And as you probably remember, many of you will, that we're going through this epistle to the Corinthians, but we're sort of in the midst of a series within the series through the book. So we're talking specifically about spiritual gifts, the manifestations of the Spirit. We've had the last few weeks to look at that subject. And we're going to continue to do that for the next few weeks as well. And let me just remind you that it seems that when it came to this issue of the manifestation of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, it seems that the Corinthians had kind of hyper-focused on one particular thing, and that was the gift of tongues. And it seems that they had done that sort of to the exclusion of so many of the other giftings that were available to them. And so in the verses that we've read so far in the 12th chapter, Paul is reminding them that there are many different manifestations of the Spirit, and that we don't want to, just get caught up in just focusing on one. We want to recognize that there are many. We want to be open to the fact that there are diversities of gifts and God working in different ways. And of course, he works through different people as well. And so as we come now to the 12th verse, he's going to again, he's talking about the same thing, but he's going to use the human body as an illustration. And he's going to show us that there's just a ton of diversity within the body of Christ, and that God wants to work through all different kinds of gifts, and he wants to give those to all different kinds of people. So let me read verses 12 through 31, and I want to read it tonight from the New Living Bible, because I think it just says it so clearly. I think it'll help us just to get the picture a little bit better. So Paul says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have gift of healing, those who can help others, and those who have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all have the power to do miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is the best of all. So here, I wanted to read it in the New Living because, like I said, it seems to just flow a little bit better. And you can get the picture. Paul is, you know, using the human body as an illustration and just talking about how foolish it would be for us to think that there's just one part of the body. And so what Paul is emphasizing here, you know, we've been talking about unity and so forth, and he's still talking about that here because of the problem of division within the church. But he's reminding us that there's unity, but there's a ton of diversity as well. And you see, that's the beautiful thing about being a Christian and a part of the family of God. God intends there to be all kinds of diversity. He intends that we're different. We're not supposed to be the same. The diversity is one of the beautiful things about what's happened through the work of Christ in establishing his church. Now, you know, in the world, it tends to be that everybody who sort of hangs together, they do so because they're alike. And any diversity is sort of, you know, excluded. But God's intentionally created all of this diversity. The problem is a lot of times we want to exclude diversity as well. You know, if somebody's not just like us, or they don't think exactly the same way we do, or maybe they don't, even to some degree, you know, dress the way we do, or groom ourselves the way we do, or whatever. Sometimes, you know, we've excluded people over those kinds of things. But to me, there's nothing more beautiful than just this whole idea of diversity. I love, looking out at a congregation and seeing an ethnically diverse congregation. When I was pastoring in London, one of the beautiful things for us there was the fact that we had some 50 plus nations that made up our church. And so, you know, you'd look out at the congregation and, I mean, there were just people from everywhere. And there was this beautiful diversity, but yet there was this wonderful unity as well. And that's the way God intends it to be. Not just an ethnic diversity. He mentions here Jews and Gentiles. That's the ethnic thing. But there's also was diversity in regard to social standing. You know, the tendency in the world is people gather together based upon their social class and they exclude those who aren't a part of that social class. That's not the way it works in the body of Christ. You have rich people and poor people coming alongside of one another, loving one another, laboring together, worshiping together. There's not to be those kinds of distinctions that are made. And so that's what Paul is reminding us here. So there are just a few points that I want to focus on. And let's do that. So number one is, Paul makes the point here, that each person is different. That there's one body, but there's different members or different parts. Or one of the translation reads, one body with many limbs and many organs. And that's the way it is. And thank God for the diversity. Thank God for the diversity of gifts. We need a multi-gifted kind of a situation. Because there's so many different things to do. There's no one person that's going to be able to do everything. There's no one gift that's going to supersede all of the other gifts or exclude the need for those other gifts. Whenever you have a church where there's just a kind of a hyper-focus on one gift or sometimes even one person with one gift, you end up with an unhealthy situation in the long run. You end up with an imbalance in the system. You see, God's intention is that all of these different things work together, just like our human bodies. We have so many different parts to the body, but all of them have a function, right? And each one of them has its specific thing that it's to do. And, you know, they're like he gives the illustration there. You know, one part can't say to the other part, I don't need you. We need all of what God has given us in our human bodies. And likewise, we need all of what God has given within the body of Christ. So each person is different. God has different gifts for all of us. And let me say this, he has different ways of manifesting those gifts. You know, you find as time goes on, now we all have preferences, right? We all have, you know, maybe our particular, let's just say, pastor or Bible teacher that we really like that person. We really connect with that person. That person really blesses us or ministers to us. And that's great. That's a wonderful thing. The problem is what we end up doing is we sort of, then we kind of make that person as, you know, well, you know, they're the best. And then, well, oh no, I don't like that other guy. No, he doesn't really speak to me. Well, you know what? That's okay. He speaks to somebody else though that needs to be spoken to. And we need to be able to appreciate that. This past week, I was watching a video on YouTube, and it's made by a person who actually is a friend of mine. And he's got a particular ministry. And, you know, quite honestly, I don't really like his approach to ministry. I don't care for it. It's just really not the way I would do things. But, you know, I had to say, as I was watching it, I thought, you know, I would never do it this way, but I'm so glad he does it this way. Because somebody needs to do it this way. You know, somebody needs to be like a evangelistic pit bull. Somebody needs that tenacity, you know, to just latch onto somebody's leg and not let go till, you know, they get on their knees and ask Jesus into their heart. You know, that's how some people are going to come to faith. Now, I'm never going to do that to anybody because that's just not my method or my approach or my personality or my gifting. But you know what? I just was sitting there going, you know, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this guy's gift. Thank you that he's getting in these people's faces because they need it. And they're responding to it. But like I said, you know, we have to be careful not to forget that there are other parts of the body that are important and that are necessary and that have their function. And, you know, and sometimes too, when we are, when it's our own personal gifting, we kind of just look at our gift. Well, my gift is the most important gift. And then we tend to also sort of, maybe sort of downplay the giftings of others. But no, all of those things are necessary. So there's the differences, and then there is the fact that each of these are necessary. All of our bodily parts are necessary. You know, the evolutionists claim that we have these vestigial organs, you know, these organs in our body that don't really do anything. Like the appendix, they say, is a vestigial organ. It's a leftover from the long evolutionary process. The tonsils, vestigial organ, leftover from the evolutionary process, that doesn't do anything. They thought that for years. And, you know, recently they've discovered that there's no such thing. Of course, there's no such thing as anything left over from a long evolutionary process because there was no long evolutionary process. But there are no organs that are meaningless. They have found that the appendix is very much a necessary organ. They found that the tonsils are very much a necessary organ. And so, you know, our temptation sometimes is to just not realize the importance of a person's gifting But you know, God has a way sometimes of just suddenly bringing that to our attention. We realize, oh, wow, that's amazing. Thank God for that gift right there. You know, we come and we gather here tonight and different nights of the week, and we come and, of course, we gather on Sundays. And you know, generally speaking, when you come, you're going to see a handful of people, right, using their gifts. You're going to see the person in the pulpit using their gifts. You're going to see the people gifted musically using their gifts and, you know, maybe praying with the pastor or something. But did you know that every service that takes place, we have hundreds of people behind the scenes doing things that nobody necessarily sees? But if they just decided one day that we're just not going to show up, guess what? We would have a huge problem. They're so necessary. And Paul, again, you know, he's talking about certain parts of our body we don't give much thought to, do we? But yet, just try to throw out your liver and see how well you do. You know, just you know, decide to get rid of your lungs or your heart or what, you know, we don't see these parts, but they're vital to the functioning of the body, right? They're called the vital organs. We can't live without them. And Paul uses that kind of illustration there. We put the big emphasis in the context of what we're doing. We put a lot of times the big emphasis is on the speaker, the mouth, or, you know, something that's really noticeably, you know, a gift that's impacting. And that's awesome. That's great. But, you know, those of us who are in the position of doing this, the impact of this, the effectiveness of this would not be anything were it not for, say, the heart, for example. And I would, you know, connect the heart here with the people, the unknown people that are praying. You know, every time we're preaching, there are lots of people that are praying for us. And I'm so thankful. Because if it's just me up here preaching, or if it's just Pastor Chuck up here preaching, or if it's just Garrett, or if it's just whoever's up here preaching, you know, we need to be empowered by the Spirit. And there's that cooperative thing that goes on with so many others assisting. I have people tell me all the time, hey, the Lord's really had you on my heart. I've really been praying for you. You know how thrilled I get when people tell me that? I am so thankful. And when I tell people thank you, it's not just a cliche. It is from my heart. I mean it, because I sense desperately I need prayer. I need those other parts of the body, those vital organs functioning, so I can do my part. And all of us who preach and teach would agree with that. And so each person is different. Each person is necessary. And each person should be appreciated. You see, we need to appreciate one another. It's easy in our culture to develop a celebrity mentality, because we just live in that kind of a celebrity culture. You know, everybody wants to be a rock star. Everybody wants to be a celebrity. And it happens in all walks of life in Western society for the most part. And in our particular situation here in the States. And it happens in churches too. And what happens so often is that all the appreciation is focused just toward one person. They become the celebrity. They become, you know, like I said, kind of the, you know, for lack of a better term, you know what I'm saying, like the rock star mentality. We don't need any rock stars. We don't need celebrities. We are called to be servants. That's what Jesus was. If there ever was a rock star, in the best sense of the term, if there is a best sense to that term, I don't know that there probably actually is. But look, Jesus was the greatest person ever, right? But he wasn't a celebrity. He wasn't a rock star. He wasn't going around with everybody waiting on him hand and foot. He wasn't expecting the masses to meet his every need. And you know, sometimes we can develop those kinds of attitudes. People in Christian leadership sometimes can develop more of a celebrity attitude than a servant attitude. And you kind of walk in and you just expect everybody to just, jump up and start waiting on you hand and foot. And the pastor's here and we got to need to make him feel important and special. We don't need to do that. It's fine to show appreciation to people. That's fine. It's good. But sometimes it goes overboard. And it's not healthy for pastors. We don't need a bunch of people praising us all the time. That can get to your head. And we have to learn to just keep that. we just have to keep remembering what we do by the grace of God, period. But we all need to recognize that we need to appreciate each other. We need to appreciate all of the gifts and be thankful for all of the gifts and not so much hyper-focus on one gift like the Corinthians are doing with tongues or on one gifted individual like sometimes it tends to happen. Because, the reality is we're all just people. We're all just sinners saved by grace. And I'll tell you right now, if you make a pastor your idol, there's a point where your idol's going to fall. And if you've put all of your focus and attention on that person as, my pastor, it's just not a healthy thing to do. It's not right. We're to worship Jesus. Remember when the angel appeared to John and he said the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and John goes to fall down and the angel, the messenger, whoever it was, picks him up and says, worship the Lord. When Peter went into the house of Cornelius, you remember in Acts chapter 10 there, and Cornelius, he falls down at the feet of Peter. And immediately Peter picks him up and says, I am myself a man. Don't forget that. We're all men. We all have feet of clay. We are all going to, at some point or other, show our humanity. And if you put too much emphasis on us, then you're going to be really disappointed. You're going to be really stumbled because we're going to do stupid things. We're going to do human things because we are human. Sometimes we forget we're human, and we think we're not. We think we're above it all, but we're not. So the way to, avoid that, one of the ways is just to remember we want to appreciate all of God's people. We want to appreciate everybody's gifting. We want to be thankful for them. We want to pray for them. We want to acknowledge that it's a team effort. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? When you see a team working together, it's just an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing. You can have athletes, for example, who are amazingly gifted athletes. But if they're athletes who are involved in a team sport, their amazing gifting can actually be detrimental to the overall success of the team unless they learn how to control their own, desire for glory and work together with the rest of the team. That happens all the time. And some of the greatest athletes, in different sports have had to really work hard to learn that lesson that as good as they might be as an individual player, unless they can learn to be part of the team, the team's not going to go anywhere. They're not going to win any championships. That was the battle with the Lakers back years ago between Shaq and Kobe. They were two great players. And they wanted to, every time they went on the court, they wanted to compete with each other to see who was the best. And Phil Jackson said, I can't do anything with these guys until they can learn to, kind of die to themselves and learn to play together. And that was the same thing with Michael Jordan before. Michael Jordan was such a great player, but he had to learn how to play with the team. And so we need to remember it's a body, the ministry, it's a team. We're all part of the same team. And it's not just a team right here in our own local congregation. There's other churches that are part of the team too. They're down the street, or they're upstate somewhere, or they're across the nation, or they're around the world. We're part of the same team. We're part of the same body. You know, the Christian body has probably been the most cannibalistic body that has ever existed. You know, just eating ourselves. And we do crazy stuff like that all the time. And what's the problem? Why do we do this? It's because we're not looking at it from this biblical standpoint. We're not recognizing the need for diversity. We're not recognizing the fact that there's this multiplicity of gifts. We're not appreciating all that God's doing through his body. You know, the older I get and the longer I go on in the ministry, the more appreciative I become of other ministries, other pastors, other preachers. Where when I was younger, I might have been envious of them. And because they preached better than I did, I would be suspect. You know, there's got to be something with that guy. You know, it can't be really all that good. You know, there must be something there. And you get that suspicion, and then you kind of throw out little things when you're preaching, and you start sowing that sort of division among people, and it happens. We got to get beyond that. God help us. Because, man, if there was ever a time in our cultural situation where we needed to rally together and function as the body of Christ, the one body, many members, man, this is the time. We need to be thanking God for every guy who's out there sincerely preaching the gospel and teaching the Bible, even if he doesn't agree with every particular point that we hold to. If they hold to the essentials of the faith that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you can't get to heaven apart from being, you know, putting faith in him and receiving your forgiveness of sins, if they're preaching that, then God bless them. And may we bless them as well. May we just say, thank you, Lord, for those men. Thank you, Lord, for those women. And so each person should be appreciated. And then finally, all of the gifts should be encouraged and sought after. We need to be encouraging one another in the gifts. You know, when I see somebody that I recognize a gifting in their life, you know what I do? I encourage them. I tell them, hey, you got a gift there. You need to use that. You need to cultivate that. You need to develop that. You need to take that seriously. We don't want to be in a position to, you know, you look at somebody and, oh no, they might be a little more gifted than I am. So what? Hey, the more the better. We need all the gifted people that we can see raised up. And so we want to be encouraging people to seek after the gifts. And when we recognize that there's something there in a person's life, we want to come alongside and say, man, God's given you this. Here, let me pray for you. Let me encourage you. Let me help you if I can. Let me, you know, come alongside and tell you what I know. You think of, as we've been studying Acts, you think of Aquila and Priscilla. And they meet this guy, Apollos. And this guy's an amazing preacher. He's just incredibly articulate and powerful. He was undoubtedly more powerful preacher than Aquila was. And they saw that gifting in him, but they also saw that there was something that just was missing. There was just something that he didn't quite get. And so they pulled him aside and they said, hey, let us explain this to you a little more thoroughly. And they did. And they encouraged Apollos in his gifting. And then he went on to have such a powerful ministry and such a great impact and became recognized as an apostle alongside of Paul and the others. See, that's what we want to do. We want to encourage the gifts, and we want to seek after the gifts. We want to seek after the gifts. And that's what he says there at the end. He says, earnestly desire the best gifts. So you see, when we're talking about these gifts, this is something, like I've been saying over the past few weeks, this is something that we need to be expecting from the Lord. And I know that you are. And as you're hearing about, you know, the gift of prophecy, as you're hearing about word of wisdom or word of knowledge or gifts of healings or whatever, tongues, what, as you're hearing about these things, just, Lord, I want whatever you have for me. And seek after these things. Ask the Lord in prayer to impart these things to you. Come up and ask people to lay hands on you, the prayer team. Just ask them, would you lay hands on me and pray for me? I want to see these gifts operating in my life. Because that's what we're told to do. We're told to earnestly desire these gifts. We're told to long for this. I want this. And again, we need it. We need the whole body clicking. We need to be running on all cylinders. We need everybody firing. We need everybody just going for it, full of the Spirit and, you know, empowered with those things that God has for them. And man, that's when it's just, you know, there's so many things that happen. And so we're one body, many parts, but we're all connected and we're all necessary for the ultimate functioning of each other. And when one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. We're a big family. We're God's family. And let's just lay hold of that and let's live it out by the grace of God. Amen.